Hey guys, welcome to Bloodshed and Bagels, where we sit down and talk about true crime cases while enjoying our morning bagel. I'm your host, Heather, and well, I don't want to bore you with nonsense, so let's get right to it. Last time we were together, it's been a little while, but we chose the case. Well, that escalated. So this is what I found for that theme. I'm going to apologize now for names that I may butcher. I'm really sorry. I really try with these. Dorothy Ruth Hoogstraten was born February 28, 1960, at Grace Maternity Hospital in Vancouver to Simon and Nellie Hoogstraten. She was the oldest of three children. Her brother, John Arthur, was born in 1961, and her sister Louise was born in 1968. In 1977, Dorothy was attending Centennial High School in British Columbia. She was also working part-time at the local Dairy Queen. She met a man named Paul Snyder, a Vancouver area club promoter and pimp. They quickly started dating. Paul began taking professional nude photos of Dorothy and later sent them to Playboy in the summer of 1978. Now, as she was still under age of majority in British Columbia, which was 19, she had to have her mother sign the model release form. Later that year in August, she moved to Los Angeles, where she was chosen as a finalist for the 25th anniversary Great Playmate Hunt. Paul joined her in LA around October. And then the following year in June of 1979, her and Paul got married. She shortened her name to Stratton, and she became Playboy's Miss August 1979. She also began working as a bunny at the Playboy Club in Century City, Los Angeles. Now, Hugh Hefner said that he believed Dorothy could make a successful crossover as an actress. She had a few feature roles in Buck Rogers and Fantasy Island. She also landed a few small roles in films. It was reported that Hugh encouraged Dorothy to leave Paul, as he was a hustler and apparently a pimp. Some of her friends warned her about Paul's behavior as well. Now, Dorothy began an affair with a movie director, Peter Bogdanovich. On March 22, 1980, Dorothy flew to New York City to begin filming a movie. They all laughed. It was actually being directed by Peter. Now, she had convinced Paul to stay behind in LA so she could pursue her relationship with Peter, saying the director closed the set to all but cast and immediate crew. Paul believed her and stayed back in LA. Now, Dorothy and Paul's relationship had been pretty volatile before she left for New York. Friends were saying that they could tell she was overly stressed, and there was a lot of tension between the couple. Paul was constantly criticizing her and starting arguments all the time. Now, in April 1980, Dorothy returned to California to prepare for her upcoming introduction as the new Playmate of the Year. With several months of filming ahead, this would actually be the last time she would live with Paul in their LA home. On April 30th, 1980, a luncheon was held at the Playboy Mansion. Dorothy was presented as the 1980 Playmate of the Year. Now, later that evening, she was a guest on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. When she woke up the next morning, she headed off on a two-week Canadian promotional tour. Since she didn't have any events planned for the first weekend, she flew to New York to surprise Peter. Being conflicted, though, about her marriage, she decided to write Paul a letter once she arrived in Canada, asking for more freedom in their relationship. Paul lost it and called Dorothy extremely upset. Her tour was scheduled to end in her hometown of Vancouver, so she was expecting to rest and spend some time with her family. But Paul arrived last minute, no warning, and talked her into making several appearances at local nightclubs. Since Paul knew most of the club owners, he negotiated and collected all the appearance fees. He also kept them when she returned to New York. What a freaking slimeball. It was reported that while in Vancouver, the couple had some heated fights. Dorothy allegedly offered to give up her acting career and that they could just move back to Canada. But it seemed like that wasn't what Paul wanted. After returning to LA, Paul had an even more difficult time reaching Dorothy. In June, just after their first wedding anniversary, Dorothy sent a letter to Paul stating they were physically and financially separated. Paul was irate. He emptied the couple's joint bank account, had a brief affair with an old girlfriend, and hired a private investigator because he was now convinced that Dorothy was having an affair. Okay, so after the separation letter, Paul was basically cut off financially. He had what he took out of their bank account. He was a foreign national living in the U.S. without a green card, allowing him to have a proper job, no other source of income. He relied on Dorothy to pay the bills. After all was paid, not much was left for the private investigator that he had hired and was working 3,000 miles from home. So what does he do? He decides to sell her Playmate prizes for quick cash, including her Jaguar. In mid-July, most of the filming was complete for They All Laughed, and by July 30th, Dorothy and Peter returned to LA. After spending 10 days in England, Dorothy had rented a Beverly Hills apartment, basically for the address, but had actually moved into Peter's Bel Air mansion. Now, on July 30th, Paul was aware his wife was back in LA and living with Peter. So he hid outside the estate carrying a handgun he had borrowed. After several hours of waiting, he left and drove into the hills overlooking the city. He later told a friend that he had had thoughts of suicide. At around noon on August 8th, the separated couple met for the first time in almost 3 months. Paul was confident he could win his wife back, but she admitted that she'd fallen in love with Peter and wanted a divorce. Paul agreed to meet her one more time in a week to discuss a monetary settlement. Later that afternoon, he had to return that gun that he had borrowed. But over the course of the next few days, he would become obsessed with finding another gun. On August 9th, Paul and his private detective walked into a gun store. Paul tried to convince the detective to purchase a gun for him after the store clerk advised Paul they couldn't sell him a gun because of his Canadian citizenship. The detective declined. When Paul met with the detective the following day, he tried to get him to purchase a machine gun for home protection. Okay. The detective talked Paul out of that purchase. Now, August 11th, Paul drove out to the San Fernando Valley to look at a gun he had found for sale in the newspaper. He got lost. He eventually gave up and went home. August 13th marked a 2-year anniversary of the day that Dorothy had first arrived in LA to begin her career. That day, Paul bought a used 12-gauge pump-action shotgun from a private seller he found in the classified section. And that night, he told his friends he purchased a gun and was planning on taking up hunting. He was also strangely talking about playmates that had died and how the editors would pull their nude photos from the next issue if there was time. Now, around noon on August 14th, Dorothy arrived at Paul's rented home in West LA. She had spent the morning with her business manager going over the settlement amount that she was offering Paul. Her manager also advised that she just allow her lawyers to handle the remaining negotiations. But Dorothy said she wanted to handle it. Paul had been really nice, and she thought it would go smoother if she had talked to him. She also had hopes of remaining friends with him. Now, the rest is just speculation and not known for sure. It seems Dorothy had spent some time in the living room where she had left her purse open. Now, around 8 p.m., Paul's roommates returned home. They said that they noticed Dorothy's car was still out front and Paul's bedroom door was closed, so they assumed the couple had made up and they just decided to sit down and watch some TV for the next several hours. Around 11 p.m., Paul's private detective had the roommates enter the bedroom to check on the couple, where they found a horrific scene. Both Dorothy and Paul were nude on the bed and both killed with a blast from Paul's shotgun. According to the police timeline, Dorothy had been killed sometime that afternoon, and then Paul took his own life about an hour later. Dorothy's body was cremated, and her remains are at the Westwood Village Memorial Park Cemetery. On her grave marker, there is a passage from chapter 34 of Ernest Hemingway's novel, A Farewell to Arms. An interesting side note, Hemingway's granddaughter, Muriel Hemingway, actually played Dorothy in Star 80 about 3 years after her death. Whew. So my thoughts on this case? It's so sad. I mean, if she'd have listened to her manager, maybe she'd still be alive today. But really, he seemed determined to get a gun and even more determined to kill her. So maybe not. I guess we'll never know. I was really surprised that he committed suicide. I mean, obviously, I knew just by finding the story that he had killed her. But I didn't know that he had killed himself until I got more into the research. And I was surprised he killed himself. I don't know. It's just so sad when lives are cut so short by senseless acts of violence like this. She had her whole life ahead of her. So did he. But he took her life. That was, you know, that was his doing. She did not have a choice in that matter. And she had a bright, bright future. And it's just so sad when things like this happen for no reason. Absolutely no reason at all. He was just, I don't know, sad, upset. His wife left him. It happens all the time. We don't kill people because of it. We shouldn't kill people because of it. It's just senseless. So sad. So let me know your thoughts on this case at Bloodshed and Bagels Podcast on Instagram or Bloodshed Bagels on Twitter. You can also send us an email at bloodshedandbagels@gmail.com. So let's see what our next case will be. Drum roll, please. Oh. Afraid of the dark. That'll be interesting to try to find a case on. So don't forget to check back next time and see what I come up with for a case involving Afraid of the Dark. Thank you so much for listening. Please consider subscribing and don't forget to rate and review. Remember, whatever you're doing in life, always give 100% unless you're donating blood. See you guys later. Bye.